And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, by the way, coming up to 24 minutes to the hour. And it's time, as always, on a Monday evening for our Career Corner. Joining us this week is Mark MacDonald. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hello, Aidan.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us. Two questions to be discussed this evening. First, from LL by email. I can't keep my CV under 2 pages. Everything I read suggests it should be maximum 2 pages. I've had a lot of jobs. I'm afraid to leave any of them out in case I end up mentioning a job in an interview, causing the interviewer to think I'm hiding something. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a very common problem. There is a discipline involved in trying to keep your CV to 2 pages. You know, for whatever reason, 2 pages seems to be the expected norm within recruitment. The only areas where that's allowed to extend beyond that really would be maybe for people applying for an academic role or people in the medical profession. So by and large, we're expected when we apply for jobs to keep our CV to 2 pages. And it can be a tough discipline. Now, what I would say, the important thing to remember is that it's up to you as the candidate to decide which information is relevant, and in particular, which information is more relevant to the particular job that you are applying for. Now, when you have somebody who's had a long and detailed career history, what we recommend is, by and large, the further you go back in terms of the job you're applying for, the further you go back in your career history, in some ways, the less relevant some of that information is. But you still need to have, we'll say, a complete chronological background of your career. So it's up to you, really, to apportion the level of significance that you feel is right. But by and large, with you know, aspects of your career that may extend beyond maybe 10 or 15 years, well, rather than going into much detail about that role, just mention them more so in maybe sentence format as opposed to each job and then bullet points relating to what you did within that job. But I suppose what we would also say to people, if there are elements of that job if there are elements of the job you've done a long time ago that are relevant to the job you're applying for now, you could maybe bring some of those key points up into your personal profile or up into your key achievements. You know, realistically speaking, the most important part of your CV is the top half of the first page. That's where you grab attention. That's what entices an employer or a hiring manager to read on beyond that point. So if there is information that information relating to jobs you've done a long time ago that you feel is relevant, maybe get some of those key points into that section of your CV.
And that's an interesting point in relation to perhaps the early work an individual did during the course of their career as the career got underway. And as you say, bullet points might be the best way to approach it. Or in the alternative then, bring it up in some more detail in the interview.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, ideally, as your listener has asked, you know, should they put it in or should they leave gaps? You know, they shouldn't, really. You shouldn't leave gaps, because you're then inviting the question at interview if the interviewer realises that there are gaps as per your CV. So, yeah, again, information that you feel is relevant from aspects of your career that may extend beyond 10 or 15 or 20 years, maybe get some of those key points from those roles and highlight them on the top half of your first page, either within your personal profile or within a section where you have key achievements, we'll say. And that way, you're getting the information out there. You can then apportion less space, physical space on the page to those particular roles as somebody reads down through your CV, but the relevant information they'll get straight away.
And of course, if the interviewer sees a bullet point relating to a position you held perhaps 25 years ago and feels that he needs to know or she needs to know more about that, well, then they'll raise it in the interview.
Of course they will, yeah. So, you're triggering key points and key aspects of elements within your career that you feel are applicable to the job you're applying for. So you're getting that information out there one way or the other. And there will, you know, you would regularly, and we would regularly come across clients who have a very long and detailed career history. But, you know, in a lot of occasions, you will find that a role they've had a long time ago would still have relevance to the job they're applying for now. And at the end of the day, it's all about somebody's complete skill set.
Second email that we're going to deal with this evening, Mark, is by LK. And this will apply to many people, not just LK, but many, many people will identify with him. I've just been made redundant. I'm aged 56 and frankly believe no one will employ me again. My technology skills are poor and no company will pick me ahead of all the hot young things out there. Do you have any crumbs of comfort? That will be something that will resonate with many people, I would imagine.
It is. And sadly, that has become very common in the last number of years, given what we've all gone through in this country. And there's a lot of people within that particular age demographic have fallen victim to unemployment and fallen victim to redundancy. And what we always say to people who we would coach who would fit that particular age group is, first and foremost, you actually need to change your mindset. You need to start believing in yourself. Now, I know that may sound a little bit trivial and condescending, but ultimately, unless you believe in yourself and believe in the skills that you have, believe in your transferable skills, nobody else is going to do that for you. So first of all, people, I suppose we encourage people to almost take a step back, to analyse their career up to that point, to begin to document what they've done, what they've achieved, what skills they've developed, what skills and talents they can offer to a future employer. I'm 100% convinced of the fact that age should not be a barrier. You know, not so long ago, everybody retired at 65. That's no longer the case. You know, we could very well be working until we're 70 and possibly even older, the way things are going. So age, and from my opinion, age should not in any way be a barrier. We will begin to tell people, instead of looking at themselves as a 56-year-old going, you know, competing against a 20-something-year-old at interview, look at yourself as somebody who has in excess of 30 years' experience that younger candidate doesn't have. And begin to believe in that. You know, it's the interview is the last place in the world where you should lack confidence. And similarly, that level of confidence needs to be articulated through your CV as well. So you really need to just take a step back, start to believe in what you did. You did a job for a long time, or you did a series of jobs for a long time. Believe in what you achieved. Believe in what you did. Believe in your skills. Start to document them. Start to outline them. If it's the case that the sector you had worked in no longer presents you with an opportunity, think about your transferable skills. The huge issue with us in Slieve Nua Careers, we always get people to focus on transferable skills, and they're essentially the skills that you've developed and built up during your career that can easily be transferred into a different sector. There's a huge degree of overlap in terms of transferable skills between sectors, and a lot of people don't actually realise that. But by and large, a lot of the jobs we do, with the exception of maybe very specialised professions, will have a large degree of crossover in terms of transferable skills. Now, I suppose in terms of tech skills being poor, which again may not be uncommon for somebody in that age demographic, there's a lot of opportunities to upskill. There's a lot of opportunities to upskill free of charge. There's quite a lot of tutorials available online that are free. If you even struggle with the basics of computers or the basics, which are laptop or a PC, maybe a family member could help you get over the basics, get you online, and then begin to look at some of those tutorials. There's a lot of tutorials available on YouTube that are free of charge. I think if you want to make, if you want to make a bigger jump in terms of upskilling or reskilling or retraining, have a look at a couple of programs that are excellent that are available nationwide, momentumskills.ie and I think it's springboardcourses.ie, and they offer third level training opportunities to people on the live register, and they're available to everyone once you meet the criteria as set out by the Department of Social Protection. And in a lot of cases, if you're in receipt of social welfare payments, you can maintain those payments while you study. So again, it's an excellent opportunity for somebody who may be lacking in a particular area of skill to look at possibly retraining and upskilling in that regard.
I have to say, when I read this particular email initially earlier in the day, the first thing that struck me was the inherent negativity of it. You know, I honestly believe no one will employ me again, and my technology skills are poor. Well, you know, that belief is wrong because employers don't operate like that. And secondly, if the technology skills are poor, and as you say, he would be not at all unique in that regard, then you improve your technology skills simply because he has to, even if he was never in difficulty in terms of jobs, just to have that skill anyway.
That's quite true, Aidan. And again, there are opportunities available to do that, irrespective of your age. As I said, you know, look at some of the stuff that's freely available online. Maybe get, you know, if you have zero IT skills, maybe get a family member just to get you over the initial hump. And, you know, I suppose in terms of the type of software that we use day in, day out, whether it's Windows-based or whether it's Apple-based, all these platforms are designed to be user-friendly, and it's really just a case of helping somebody to get to the first step. And by and large, a lot of people can educate themselves from that point onwards. Or, as we said, if you want to make a bigger commitment to retraining, look at some of the training opportunities that are available and that are supported by, you know, supported by the state, supported by the government. But I'd go right back to the very start of what I said. Belief is vital in this, and if you're, you know, if you feel you don't add value based on your age, that'll come across in your CV. If you're called for an interview, it'll come across at interview. So although it may sound tough and it may sound harsh, but you have to believe in yourself. You have to change your mindset and say to yourself, look, I have in excess of 30 years experience. I was damn good at what I did, and there's no reason why I can't do it again.
Very good. We have to leave it there. Mark MacDonald from the Dublin office of Sliniúa Careers, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and a very happy Christmas to you and yours.
And yourself, Aidan. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Good evening to you.